Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Psalm 32, verse 10, the Bible says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Mercy shall compass him about. When we read through the Bible, there are several places where we find this admonition to trust in the Lord. And we know that we're supposed to trust in the Lord. It's obvious from our very beginning of our salvation, we trust Jesus Christ with our soul. We trust Jesus Christ for our salvation. So we know that we're supposed to trust the Lord, but the question is, why? Well, we're going to look at that today, and we're going to find seven things in the Scripture. First of all, you trust in the Lord for, as the verse says, mercy. Psalm 32:10, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." I don't know about you, but I came to the Lord for mercy. Some people come to the Lord because they don't want to go to hell. Some people come to the Lord because they find out how much the Lord loved them. And we love him because he first loved us. But I'll tell you what, mercy is a wonderful thing. Salvation is of the Lord. And mercy is a wonderful thing because when you consider, if you consider the depth of your sin, if you consider the quantity of your sin, if you consider the need for forgiveness, well then, right away, you realize how desperately you need to trust in the Lord, because when you do, the Bible says, mercy shall compass him about. We need his mercy, and he extends us his mercy when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Often when people confess their own righteousness, they don't see their need of God's mercy. The Lord got on the Pharisees about this very thing. He said that the Lord hadn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And he told those Pharisees, "You need to go learn what that meaneth. I will not have sacrifice, but mercy." I didn't quote it exactly, but you know the passage I'm talking about. Oh, that's the thing. God has already made all the provisions for our salvation. He simply wants to extend his mercy, and must extend his mercy to us so that we can be saved. And frankly, you will not be the recipient of the mercy of the Lord God if you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He doesn't give you mercy because you've been good. He gives you mercy because Christ has been good and you have been bad. And until you and I will admit that we are sinners in need of mercy, we won't have mercy. But when we look to the Lord for mercy and trust in the Lord for mercy, he extends his mercy. And I'm telling you right now, thank God he did. Oh, thank God he did, because his mercy is what guarantees that those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ will see God and be with him in heaven. He did something for us we could not do for ourselves. Then turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. After you get saved, notice the need for the continual trusting of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the trouble is, a lot of times people get saved, and when they do, they've trusted God for his mercy. And then they're like, "Okay, woo, I got that deal done. I've got my ticket punched. I'm not going to hell." And then they go out and live their lives the way they want to live their lives. And that's not good. And I'll tell you why. Because you're looking for happiness in the world, and happiness is not in the world. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20 tells you where happiness is. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good," Watch it. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So we trust the Lord for mercy, but then we trust the Lord for happiness. You see, one of the greatest reasons for you to part with the world, one of the greatest reasons for me to part with the world after we get saved, is to begin to enjoy true happiness. See, happiness comes when we trust in the Lord. I didn't believe that. I was young when I first trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then, you know, when I got to college and then went into a professional career, I thought happiness was in being accepted by my peers. And the peers that I had in the business were not saved people for the most part. And so in order to get along well with them, in order to be accepted by them, in order to think of myself as one of them, to be in, on the in crowd, then I started to do what they were doing. But I'm going to tell you something. I saw in their lives over a period of time things that I began to experience in my own life. And it wasn't good. They weren't happy. They had to continue to inebriate themselves. They had to continue to entertain themselves. They had to continue to do mischievous things and recreate in certain ways in order to find what they called happiness. And it wasn't lasting happiness, and it wasn't real happiness. And I began to experience that in my own life, and my life began to unravel like I saw many of their lives unraveling. And I thought, well, something's wrong here. And the thing that was wrong is I was looking for happiness in the world, and there's not happiness in the world. There's misery and heartache in the world. Things aren't lasting here. Happiness comes from trusting in the Lord. So, you know, I repented of that and turned back to the Lord, thankful for His mercy. And then began to trust in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible, when it says, whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he, is absolutely right. And I commend to you, if you want to be happy, trust in the Lord. If you're not happy right now, trust in the Lord. Everything that you hope to find in true happiness, you find in the Lord, not in the world. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. And at first, your break with the world comes as kind of a shock to your system. It doesn't appear to be happy. As a matter of fact, it's kind of scary. You don't find that happiness until a little while later, but boy, when you find it, you realize you were digging in the right mine and you're glad you did. You trust in the Lord for mercy. You trust in the Lord for happiness. And then something else, you trust in the Lord for direction. Direction. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, very famous passage of Scripture, but it bears repeating over and over again because it's so true. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You trust in the Lord for direction. You know, when you're driving down the road in a city that you don't know, and somebody says, our church is located over here. You type in the address, and you get behind the wheel, and then you listen for the directions from your GPS, and you look at the map for directions on your GPS to find the way to go, because you've never been there before. And, you know, today, directions from GPS were a whole lot better than when GPS first got started. There were enough misdirections in GPS that you'd have to sometimes check the thing out before you got started, be sure you wound up in the right spot. But today it's pretty good. And recently we took a trip, and we were in several strange places we hadn't been before, and typed the stuff into GPS and just simply followed it turn by turn, and we ended up right where we wanted to go, and we ended up in the time that it said we would be there. It was pretty remarkable. You know what we had to do? We had to trust that GPS. That's what we had to do. We had to trust that GPS. And I'm going to tell you something. In the same way, and I'm just, you know, giving you this little illustration. I know it's nothing like trusting in the Lord, but it's an illustration. In the same way that you have to trust that GPS to get you where you need to go, you need to trust the Lord to get you where you need to go. But now let me say something. The Lord's directions are never wrong. And one thing about the Lord is He probably won't tell you when you're going to get there, and He probably won't tell you ultimately where you're going to end up, but He'll tell you which turn He wants you to take today. He'll do that. He'll tell you which turn to take today and tomorrow, which turn to take. And as old Bob Jones Sr. said, the right road always leads out at the right place. Always. Listen, I am asked often by people about decisions they're trying to make concerning marriage, concerning school, concerning jobs, concerning relocation, you know, big decisions, things like that. And they really don't, they're not sure of the directions. But I'll tell you something, invariably, those who are trusting in the Lord, things turn out right. When they don't trust in themselves, they trust in the Lord. Why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we really, we need to follow somebody who knows where he's going. Have you ever noticed when you're flying in an airplane and you look down on the earth and you can see vast distances between points of interest? It's real easy for you to see where you are on one side and where the other city is on the other side. It's all in the same vista. You can see it out of the plane window. And it's very easy. You just go from there to there to get to this other place. God is like that. He is up high where everything is visible to him. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing is disguised from him. There's not a person in the universe that can direct you better than God. But you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to trust him. One more illustration on this and then we'll be gone. I used to ride horseback in the Cascade Mountains. And those horses knew what to do. And there were places, I'll tell you, that were kind of scary. And you know what you have to do? You have to slack the reins on that horse completely. You're not going to guide that horse. That horse is going to carry you through that cliff and whatever else you're on to the point you need to go a whole lot better than you can by trying to take the reins yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. You have to trust that horse. All right? I realize it's a crude illustration, but it's one that you can visualize. The same way you have to trust the Lord, you got to slack the reins and let him lead you. He will get you where you need to be, and you'll be happy when you get there. Because whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he, all right? And he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. You'll be happy when you get there, all right? Trust in the Lord for mercy, for happiness, for direction, for blessing. Turn to Psalm 84, and look at verse 12. You trust in the Lord for blessing. Psalm 84, verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now, who wouldn't want the blessing of the Lord on his life? I mean, God is loaded with blessings. He daily loadeth with benefits, the Bible says. Who wouldn't want the blessing of God on his life? We say it all the time. Even people who aren't saved convey the blessing of God onto the people. They'll say, God bless. Or more specifically, God bless you. They say it all the time. The Lord bless you. And you know why? Because they want the Lord to bless you. And you obviously would want the Lord to bless you. His blessings are abundant. Now, how do you get those blessings? By trusting the Lord. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now, you got to be real careful here because, you know, these days people are looking in the news for people to trust in the world and, you know, with congressional elections and presidential elections and local elections and all things like that, people are like trying to find the best candidate and many times they find themselves actually trusting in princes and trusting in men. But watch what the Bible says. Jeremiah 17:7. Listen how the Bible puts it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Now, you know what the contrast to that verse is? It's verse 5. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now, you know something? There are some good men to follow, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're trusting that man, and your heart is departing from the Lord, you're in trouble. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, you're cursed. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And there are things in life that you're going to face where you got to make a decision. Are you going to trust a man or are you going to trust the Lord? And the Lord says, I'm going to tell you what, he says, the thing to do is to trust me. Why? Because he's the one that can bless you. God bless you. That's what people say. The man who is blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And like a faithful man who abounds with blessings, we should want to abound with the Lord's blessings, and thereby we should want to trust the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Do you not want the Lord to bless your life? You say, well, of course I do. Well, then trust him. Trust him. That can be a very difficult thing to do. Evie Hill was preaching his wife's funeral and describing what it was like to be in the hospital when she was dying. And he'd gone to the chapel to pray, and the Lord said, "Trust me." And he thought that meant that God was going to heal her. And when she died, he went back to that chapel and said, "Now, I don't get it." And the Lord said, "Trust me. Trust me." And he realized I had to trust. He said, I had to trust the Lord with her. He knew what was best for her. And I had to trust him for me to help me through this great agony of losing my wife. And you know something? The Lord blessed them both. She's in heaven after this happened. And the Lord did bless his life, as only God can do. God, trust him. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, and look at another reason for trusting the Lord. Why do we trust the Lord? Well, we trust him for mercy. Thank God we wouldn't be saved if he didn't have mercy. We trust him for happiness, and we've lived long enough to find out that's where true happiness is. We trust the Lord for direction. He's the only one that knows how to get us where we need to be. We trust the Lord for blessing, and his blessings are abundant. We trust the Lord for safety. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know something? Men are going to let you down. They really are. And you're probably reflecting on a circumstance in your life where somebody you were really counting on, you know, kind of did you wrong. Well, let me tell you something. You are not alone in that. We've all been through it. If you've lived long enough, you've certainly been through it. And if you hadn't been through it yet, but you keep living, and the Lord isn't planning on coming back anytime soon, you are going to experience that great letdown. And let me tell you something. When you find that men have crossed you or let you down, that causes you to run to the Lord. It improves your relationship to the Lord. And what happens is you realize that their desire to wound you, their desire to hurt you, their desire to pull the rug out from under your feet, or whatever the reason was, or turn their back on you, doesn't stop you at all. If you are trusting the Lord and you are in the Lord's direction where he wants you to be. Why? Because safety is of the Lord. That's what Proverbs 29:25 says. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh, I tell you what, David found this out. You know, David came in great favor with Saul. We're going to turn to 2 Samuel 22:31 right now. 2 Samuel 22:31. David was in great favor with Saul. Saul loved him. He even brought him into his own house. He said, "Look, you're not going back to your dad's house. You're staying here." Well, I'll guarantee you, you know it from reading the Bible. David fell out of favor with Saul in the worst kind of way, and it wasn't because David ever did anything to try to hurt Saul. It was because David drew close to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. And Saul became very envious because people recognized the blessing of the Lord on David's life, and he was very successful in battle. People followed him. And you know what David said after he defeated all of his enemies in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31? He said, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." Watch it. "He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." You want to know who can protect you? The Lord. The Lord. You know, there was a time when Hezekiah had told all of Israel, or Judah, he said, "You guys, you're going to have to trust the Lord here." And they were besieged by Sennacherib and the Assyrians. And you know what Sennacherib did? He sent messengers to the wall to scare the Jews and said, "How in the world can you follow your king Hezekiah, who told you to trust in the Lord? The Lord's not going to do anything for you." 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, they said, "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria.' He said, hearken not to Hezekiah." In other words, he said, the Lord is not going to be able to protect you. But you know what? Sennacherib was wrong. Sennacherib is the king whose elite soldiers, 185,000 of them, were killed in one night by one angel of the Lord. And Sennacherib went home licking his wounds and was killed by two of his own sons in an assassination. Listen, you and I have to recognize that Psalm 18, verse 2 is true. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." That's God. And that's a good reason to trust him. Think of all those things. Rock, fortress, deliverer, God, strength, buckler, horn, salvation, high tower. Who wouldn't want that? You're not going to find that in men. You're not going to find that in armor. You find that in God when you trust the Lord. You also trust the Lord for courage. Psalm 112, verse 7. You know, there are things that you and I face in life that can rattle you a little bit. We're sort of prone to be afraid of things and shouldn't be, but we are. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Evidently, there are plenty of things to fear these days because so many people are afraid. There are a lot of evil tidings. People are worried about the economy, worried about their health. Some are worried about their marriages. Some are worried about their lives. Some are worried about the United States. Some are worried about the climate. Some are worried about the environment. Some are worried about politicians. Some are worried about bankruptcy in the government. All of these kind of things got people scared. Some people are just scared of everything. Scared of going to the doctor. Scared. Scared of, you know, turn on the television and scare themselves to death and go to work, come home, turn on the television again, scare themselves to death and try to get a good night's sleep. And it's not working. You know why? Because they don't have any courage left. Their heart is not fixed. They're not really trusting in the Lord. I'll tell you, people that are like that, they have one symptom. They're on social networks. They're on internet searching for information. They're on television. They communicate with each other, but they are not communicating with God, and they are not in their Bibles. And therefore, they're not trusting in the Lord. Christians should not be afraid, even in circumstances that you see today. You should not be afraid. And I'll tell you something. Christians who trust in the Lord aren't afraid when they really trust in the Lord, and they have no reason to fear. You say, why do you know that? Because of Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verse 3, and then verse 11. Watch how you're supposed to handle this. Psalm 56, 3, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." There you go. It's not wrong to be afraid, it's wrong to stay afraid. "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." Verse 11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Well, that's courage. And you get that when you trust in the Lord. You say, well, I don't have any courage right now. Then that's an indication you're not trusting fully in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and you'll have more courage. And cut off those things that are causing you to be afraid. You say, well, I got to be in the know. Not if it's scaring you. You don't have to go to horror movies and scare yourself. You trust in the Lord for mercy. You trust in the Lord for happiness. You trust in the Lord for direction, for blessing, for safety, for courage, and for one other thing, for strength. For strength. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Oh, you'll think of other things, but these are just conveniently located in the Bible because they're associated with the four words, trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. The Bible says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now, you know, there are times when we just don't feel like we have the strength to face the day, to face the work, to face the job, to face life, to face confrontation, to face circumstances in life that are difficult. But you know something? We can look to the Lord to strengthen us for anything he gives us to do and for anything in life that we must face. Just look to the Lord for strength. Trust him. Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And he is much stronger than anything else in the universe. He's already defeated the devil. He just hadn't taken him out yet because he's still using him for several of his purposes. But if you need help against the devil, he will give you the strength you need because he's strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. That's in the context of the whole armor of God where we fight against those spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of the darkness of the air. Not flesh and blood. Evil things. Spiritual things. David said in Psalm 71:16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." And I'm going to tell you something. He did. Did you see how successful he was in battle? Who gave David that kind of strength? God did. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. And that's what you and I need to do. We trust him for strength. Listen, I don't have that kind of strength. I'm the kind of person who would run from things like that. But he has that kind of strength. When he says, this is what I want you to do, you say, okay, well, I'll put my pants on and go do it because I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Not me, trusting you. That's why you trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord for these things that we've talked about. Listen, when you trust, and here's the beauty, when you trust in the Lord, others can see that the Lord is blessing you. They can see the Lord has blessed you with mercy. They can see that the Lord has blessed you with happiness. They can see that the Lord has blessed you with his direction. They can see that the Lord has blessed you with safety. They can see that the Lord has blessed you with courage and that the Lord has blessed you with strength. That's visible. It's evident. And when they see that, you know what happens? You end up having a testimony of God's faithfulness to provide these things when you trust him. It's like the psalmist said in Psalm 73 and verse 28. He said, I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. In other words, he's not bragging about what he can do. He's bragging about what God can do. So you put your trust in the Lord, and then you can declare the works of God to others that see what God is doing in your life. And watch this. Because of our trust in the Lord, others will trust the Lord. Have you ever not wanted to be a good witness for Jesus Christ? I'll tell you how to do it. Trust in the Lord, and when others see what trusting in the Lord is doing in your life, they'll want to trust the Lord too. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. With a life of trust in the Lord, we can indeed be witnesses for the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you what, it will help you in your attempt to lead another soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. How I pray today that we will all be encouraged by this message to trust in the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.